Why do so many different teachings exist, like Zen, Advaita, or others? It's just because human beings are so complicated. And but also, I mean, I think the, you know, there is the, there are many paths, and the, you know, we all respond to different, yeah, different flavors of the teaching or different approaches, and some things make sense, and others, say for ourselves, something might make total sense as an approach to practice, and you start talking to somebody else, and you realize, wow, it doesn't make any sense to them at all, and they've got their own sort of path that they're enthusiastic about, and it isn't as if one is absolutely right and the other one is absolutely wrong. It's just that things make sense to us at different times, or you know, we feel a connection, and it's easy to establish a relationship with a particular teaching or mode of practice. Yeah, and it's the personality of us as human beings. I mean, there's just the different personalities. And you think, say, like, even, you know, reflecting back on the time of the Buddha, and the Buddha's enlightened disciples. And there's the Buddha, and then there's Sariputta, who's sort of a wisdom guy, and analyzing and explaining in all sorts of details, and then there's Moggallana, who's all in psychic powers and spectacular stuff, Ananda, who's very kind and attentive, in the Bhikkhuni side of Kema is just really similarly the analysis and discernment, you have the foremost monks and nuns who are skilled in the Vinaya, the discipline, and that takes a whole other temperament, and so that the personalities are different personalities are drawn to different things. And it's quite natural. And the Buddha didn't sort of say, "Oh, you should all be like this." But he's recognizing, within that, so all the differences of personality, there are these fundamental truths or underlying truths that can be liberating.